Lord Jesus, we just said this. We need your Spirit to set us free. Free to be here where we are. Free to hear you speaking to us. We need you, Lord Jesus, to come and be present with us. To breathe out your very power on us. To connect us all together so that we might be your people following you. Through the world, through life, through death. Into the presence of the Father. So, Jesus, we need your help. And we come to you boldly this morning, asking you to speak and giving us ears to hear, and that all of this would be for the Father's glory. So we pray this through you and in your name, and together we say, Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
We're getting there. We're getting that greeting. For 6 weeks in the Easter season, we gather in and we share that greeting. It's like a short story followed by a short story. It's like a super short sermon followed by a really short sermon. And for the last 3 weeks, I've been envisioning you, imagining you doing what I invited you to do. To greet each other with those gospel words wherever you see each other. So I've been imagining y'all seeing each other at Food Line on aisle number 2. And one person at one end going, Christ is risen. And the person down there by the meat going, He's risen indeed. Or at the Y, or at, you know, Lowe's Foods, or at the post office. You know, the four places where you're bound to see somebody from Arbordale. Back and forth. I don't know if you've been considering that, but consider what you do in December when the tree is up and the presents are wrapped and you see someone, what do you say to them?
Merry
and if it's someone's birthday and you know that, what do you say to them?
Happy.
Right? Because a special day or a special season deserves a special greeting. And Easter is the central, most special of all days. It is the fulcrum of history, the turning point of eternity. And so we greet each other with that good news, with Easter good news. Because if Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead, if he has not died for your sins and mine and the sins of the world, if he has not been raised from the dead, then you're wasting your time this morning. I've got nothing to say to you. You don't have anything to say to each other. And the church has no good news for the world. But since Christ has been raised from the dead, there's so much more for us. And today I want to invite you into that more. I want to give you three different ways into that more. And the first is a poem, or at least part of a poem. And it's been on the back of your bulletin now for 3 weeks. So go to the back of your bulletin, read along if you want, or just listen in as I invite you to take at least one way higher up and further in. Seven Stanzas at Easter was written by John Updike when he was an undergrad. He put these little seven statements together. Let me invite you to listen to the first four. Make no mistake. If he rose at all, it was as his body. If the cell's dissolution did not reverse, the molecules reknit, the amino acids rekindle, the church will fall. It was not as the flowers, each soft spring recurrent. It was not as his spirit in the mouths and fuddled eyes of the 11 apostles. It was as his flesh, ours. The same hinged thumbs and toes, the same valve heart that pierced, died, withered, paused, and then regathered out of enduring might, new strength to enclose. Let us not mock God with metaphor, analogy, sidestepping transcendence, making of the event a parable, a sign painted in the faded credulity of earlier ages. Let us walk through the door. Today I want to give you three things. A poem, a story, and an invitation. I want to give you a poem and a story that leads to an invitation to turn around, to repent, to do a 180. In other words, to walk out of that door differently than the way you walked through that door. So to get to that invitation to walk through the door, let me first invite you to listen to the story that leads there. It's from Luke chapter 24, verses 36 to 49. So lean in and listen well and listen carefully to the story that leads to repentance. While they were still talking about these things, Jesus himself stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your minds? It's I, myself. Look at my hands and my feet. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and blood, as you see I have." While they still did not believe him because of joy and amazement, Jesus said to them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took it and he ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you when I was still with you. Everything written about me must be fulfilled that's in the law of Moses, the Psalms, and the prophets." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer many things and on the third day be raised from the dead, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of all these things. And I will send you what the Father has promised. So stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So I turned 50 on Fridays. I've been thinking about the past a lot. And I was wondering, like, what was going on 25 years ago when I was at the midpoint in life? And so I did some Google searching, right, to see what was really big 25 years ago. And I was reminded of one of the greatest series of commercials ever. 25 years ago, Budweiser released the Budweiser True commercials. Just amazingly funny stories that are all about a greeting. They're these series of commercials where these five friends who love each other. And they love seeing each other. And every time they see each other, they say the same thing. It's one word. Anybody remember what it was?
What's up?
I didn't ask him to do that.
I'm glad I got it right.
Yeah. Greeting, friendship. After Jesus was betrayed by one of his friends, abandoned by all of them, denied by his best friend, after he was arrested, falsely convicted, beaten, mocked, stripped, crucified, after he died, after he was buried, after he descended into hell, after Jesus rose again on the third day, after he took up your sin to take it away on the cross, entered into the tomb to overcome the power of death, after he defeated the devil, he came and greeted his friends with one word. And it was not, "What's up?" Did you hear it? Peace. While they were still talking about all the things that they had experienced that strange day when Jesus had already appeared to some of them, after or while they were talking about all of these things, Jesus stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace." And they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. Takeaway point number one, step back and know this. If you are ever having problems in a relationship where you're communicating and things are not just landing right, if you're ever having problems in, say, a marriage or a friendship or a business, I want to give you permission to go to Luke chapter 4, open up the scriptures, read that little part of the story, and laugh. Because the risen King of the universe, after he's been betrayed by his friends, shows up to his friends, speaks one word to them, and the reaction is the exact opposite. So you can, I give you permission to laugh at Jesus, I'm being really serious, and his disciples, and laugh at yourself. Karl Barth, the great theologian, said that next to God's grace, the second biggest gift he gives us is laughter. When you actually laugh, you can step back and recognize how hard it is for one word, just one word, to come from your heart, out of your mouth, travel as a wave across space and time, enter another human being's ears, get into their brain, and sink to the depths of their soul. The risen Jesus shows up with just one word, peace. And the disciples don't hear it. It doesn't enter their ear. It doesn't transform their mind. It doesn't reach down into the depths of their soul. And why not? Because they were thinking the only thing that any rational human being would have been thinking. You've learned this lesson in life. It's one of the hardest lessons to learn. When you love someone and lose someone to death, they're gone. Dead people stay what? Dead. The only way to have them back is through memory and gratitude. And here Jesus is back, standing there in their midst, speaking this one word to them. They are startled and frightened. And Jesus, so full of grace, so full of compassion, so tender, is patient with them. He not only speaks this word to them, he shows them his hands and his feet. He offers them the opportunity to touch him. And when they still don't believe because of joy and amazement, he asks for something to eat. And they gave it to him. And he ate it. Do you know why? He ate it because the cell's dissolution did reverse. The molecules did reknit. The amino acids rekindled. The same hinge thumbs that took up the cross and let go of life could take that fish and eat it. All of that Jesus is doing with his unfaithful friends in that room so that they can hear one word. So they can hear that word, turn around, and enter into his peace. Peace in the Bible is one of the richest, sweetest, best words. Peace in the Bible means something like harmony. The original word in the Hebrew is shalom. Shalom is the word that pictures the whole of creation dancing in goodness. Shalom is the word that brings up the feeling of harmony. Shalom is that experience that you have when you're desiring and you're choosing and you're thinking are all working perfectly together. Shalom is when the inside and the outside are perfectly congruent. Shalom is that feeling you have in life where the past, the present, and the future are all dancing in joy. Shalom. It's the word in the Old Testament. When you go to the New Testament, the word is eirene. It's frequently used of a body where all the parts are working, where they're all healthy and they're all holy together, and everything feels what? Strong and right and good. How much does it stink when you stub your toe? How much does it stink when you have to get your knee replaced? How much does it stink when things don't work like they used to? I'm not just saying that because I turned 50 on Friday. We all know that, right? When your body is not at peace, you are not at eirene. When the Bible speaks of peace, it's speaking of this incredible rightness of everything in you and around you, so that your shopping and your sharing are perfectly balanced. And when that happens, guess what else is also balanced? Come on, bookkeepers. Your checkbook. Right? You know, shalom, eirene, peace is when everything around you, the people with you, your community is filled with justice, righteousness, goodness, fullness, life. Shalom, eirene, peace. One of my favorite little uses of the word shalom in the Old Testament, I discovered through a Bible Project video. It said that if a king was to build a wall in the Old Testament, and all the stones fit together and the gate actually work, the king would step back and say, that wall is shalom. Which is a really beautiful image, because the wall, right, just provides the possibility for peace, so that there can be protection from the bad and the flourishing of the good. So the wall is at peace, so there is the possibility of what? Peace, or shalom, or eirene. That's how the Bible invites us to see and enter in to God's peace, like a wall where everything fits together. And before I put on my pants this morning and rip the side, clearly don't fit, get it? Before that even, I recognize that most of the time, with most of my life, I'm not in a state of shalom. I'm like that wall in that other poem, Robert Frost, Mending Walls. I'm like that wall that's always falling apart. My desire going one way, my choices going another, my thinking split between, right? The inside and the outside not cohering, my shopping and my sharing definitely out of balance. Things looking like they're just on the surface, but below there's enmity and strife. I feel like a wall that's crumbling. And when I recognize that feeling, this scripture passage has an invitation for me. First and foremost, to hear the risen Jesus coming to me as I am, not as I should be, because I'll never be as I should be. Jesus coming to me and saying one word. Shalom, eirene, peace. Peace be with you. My peace, Jesus says, I give to you, not as the world gives. You see, Jesus gives peace to those who don't deserve it, to those who can't earn it, who desperately need it, here, here, and everywhere. I need to hear that word just like Jesus's friends did, so that all the broken parts of me get put back together, so that our relationship becomes a relationship of love, so that everything we do has the quality of that gospel greeting filled with peace. I need to hear that word. This passage also invites me to see something else. Not only is Jesus' word powerful, and powerful to bring real people like me and you peace, this passage not only speaks that word to us, it shows us that Jesus' words have been verified. Not just his one word of peace, but all of his gospel teaching and preaching. Did you hear what Jesus said when the fork was still in his hand? The fish was still in his mouth? This is what I told you when I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms was going to be fulfilled. This is what I told you. Have you ever used that phrase in a relationship? I'm much more efficient. Two words. Or three, kind of. Told you so. But when I say that, it's a You know that. You know, y'all felt that before, right? When Jesus has been abandoned, betrayed, denied, and crucified because of the faithlessness of his friends, he comes back to them and says, "Told you so." But it's not a It's a "Oh yeah." And everything else I told you that was going to happen, everything else I told you about God, yourself, and grace, you can believe that too. It's not just the one word of Jesus, it's all the words of Jesus that have been verified, which is why the disciples who were in that room went out to write four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so that all the words of Jesus we can hear, we can hold on to, we can enter into them, because all the words of Jesus, guess what they bring us? Peace. Shalom. Irene. And guess what? There's more. It's not just the one word of peace. It's not just the words of Jesus. Did you see what else happened when Jesus comes to his faithless friends? He opened their minds so that they could understand Leviticus. He opened their minds so that they could meditate on Malachi. He opened their minds so that the familiar could become unfamiliar, so that the strange could become sweet, so that prayers, like in their prayer book called the Psalms, which they thought of as David's prayers, they would see for the first time as Jesus' prayers, so that they could become their prayers. Jesus comes, speaks this one word, all of his words are verified, and then he clarifies that they need the whole of the Bible, the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, because all of it leads to Jesus, and that all leads to shalom, irene, and peace. Here's the yet again other invitation. I want you to walk through that door repenting today. Turning around from all the stuff that causes chaos in your thinking, turmoil in your emotions, and pain in your relationships. Whatever it is, Jesus has one word to say to that. Can you guess what it is? Peace. He's bringing his peace, that peace from the Father that comes through the Spirit for you, so that your past is covered, so that your presence is assured, so that there's hope in the future. Jesus wants to bring your spending and your sharing back in balance. He wants to give you a taste of justice. He wants to give you his forgiveness, so that receiving it, you can walk through that door and share it with anyone. The last three stanzas. The stone is rolled back. Now, why is that good news? If the stone wasn't rolled back, you'd be trapped where? Okay, so you get it, right? Here we go. The stone is rolled back, not paper mache, not a stone in a story, but the vast rock of materiality that in the slow grinding of time will eclipse for each of us the wide light of day. And if we have an angel at the tomb, make it real. Make it a real angel, weighty with Max Planck's quanta, vivid with hair, opaque in the dawn light, robed in real linen, spun on a definite tomb. Let us not seek to make it less monstrous for our own convenience, our own sense of beauty, lest awakened in one unthinkable hour, We are embarrassed by the miracle and crushed by remonstrance. I don't know what you feel at the end of that poem, but I think John Updike wrote that last stanza with a very real sense of FOMO. Right? The fear of missing out on this terrible transcendence, on the monstrous, huge largeness of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. I get that. Every Sunday, I have a little FOMO. I have a fear of all of us missing out. Of all of us missing out on this word that Jesus has for us of peace, on the fullness of the gospel story, on the totality of the narrative of the Bible that shows us not once, but over and over, that God is compassionate, full of mercy. And He loves to meet us right where we are, to give us His forgiveness so that we can go out and forgive others. He loves to send the promised Spirit so that we can hear the word of Jesus, so that we can greet anyone, anywhere, with good news. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, You came and You met Your faithless friends with a word of peace. You know how we come in this morning, some of us faithful, some of us faithless. We believe, help our unbelief. And give us the help of Your Spirit, that we might hear Your word coming through the canyons of time. May it transform our thinking. May it settle our hearts. May it reshape all of our relationships, reconfigure all of our dreams. Lord Jesus, speak Your word to us and open for us the Gospels, the law, the prophets, the prayers, the writings, and open our ears and open our hearts that we might be people of peace. So help us, we pray. We pray in Your name and say, amen.